Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And we, as always, are taking time out of our busy schedules as very funny comedians to help you out by rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia, but doing it in podcast form.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then probably typing it up later at some point. Not word for word.
Right. Like, we're going to blow up to the point where we can legitimately bring on an intern and not feel guilty about it. And we'll have them type it up.
Well, to have them type it up and then complain about it to me later.
Yeah. That feels like it's pretty based in truth.
What's subtweeting when you do it out loud into a microphone on your Wikipedia podcast?
I don't know. It's like digital passive aggressive.
Sub-citing, because it's Wikipedia, so we'd be citing our sources.
Sub-citing? I don't know. Well, this is episode 9.
Yes.
And our faithful listeners will know that our goal here is to rewrite the entirety of Wikipedia in audio form, right? But we are comparing ourselves to the actual pages that are being made, and so we're keeping score. And theoretically, we have decided that if we outscore Wikipedia when this project is done, we will receive the entirety of Wikipedia as our prize.
Yeah, we will then be in charge of it. We will periodically put banners on the top of it asking you for $3 specifically.
Right. Have you ever donated to Wikipedia?
I probably have.
I don't think I have.
I get a lot out of it. Yeah. And I give money to things pretty regularly. So I feel like I've probably kicked in some money to Wikipedia.
Well, maybe you'll recoup that at the end of this.
Yeah,
when
I get it back. When we're done, I get it all back. All
right, so the score is all tied up. We've got 3 points, Wikipedia's got 3 points, and we've got 2 ties. So this is an important episode. Every episode's important, but this one could
right,
really turn a corner.
Right, because it's tied, it feels more important because right. of game theory, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe we'll do game theory today. We don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, so every episode you reach out to your connections on social media to get a suggestion because I tried once and no one likes me.
Nobody did it.
That's true. No, people did it. They just did it like 8 hours after we needed it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the sweet spot because I feel like if it's up too long, it doesn't work good because then people just start.
They do bits.
Like doing stupid answers like Richie Wormkessel does. And
it's your second sub site of the episode.
That was very specific. That one was. I wasn't implying that there was a grumpy intern who had to transcribe something for me. I was specifically mentioning fellow comedian, which I use loosely, Richie Wormkessel.
I like that our podcast has a feud.
Yeah.
With Richie.
Well, the problem is I have a pretend comedy feud with Ben Youngerman.
Right.
Which Richie has firmly placed himself in the Ben Youngerman camp. But since he's one removed from the actual joke, it just feels like genuine attacks.
Yeah. All right. So what did you post today and what are we going
to
be talking about?
Today, I asked people to submit a substance they would like to know more about. Normally, I just put noun, but I figured we'll mix it up a little bit to get some variety from the answers because there were repeats already from the few times that we've done this.
Yeah, and we're trying to do all of Wikipedia.
Yeah,
so
there's
repeats.
A lot of categories to get. Get out of here with your repeats. I also delete them when I'm done because I don't want my Facebook feed to be just, you know, dozens of what's a noun you want because once people comment it, it bounces back up to the top.
Right.
All right, so substances. Mm-hmm. Let's see how many we got. And I feel like most of them are going to be bad.
Great. Thanks, Glenn's friends. Glenn's friends. Yeah, that's fun to say. Glenn's friends.
All right, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 11.
7. Oh, no. That was not. I'm excited about this topic.
So Anthony Kastner,
okay,
suggested ibogaine, which I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly.
Ibogaine. I mean, full transparency. I feel like I can crush this one.
Okay, because I have no idea what it is.
Neither do I.
Okay, so we're just going straight nonsense? I'm down with that.
All right. No, man, we're going straight quality Wikipedia content. Yeah. Ibogaine.
Okay.
It is a over-the-counter ointment that is used for the treatment of topical abrasions and irritants, right? Like, so it would be something that you put on, like, a brush burn, or if, like, you had, like, a mild allergic reaction to, like, the oils of a plant leaf.
Okay.
You would go and you would put some Ibogaine on that.
I think we're on to something, right? Because I know the suffix cane, when talking about stuff, is it's derived from cocaine, like lidocaine that you put on.
Right.
Other ones.
Cocaine itself. Cocaine. Yeah, cocaine is derived from cocaine.
There's a few more, but it's all...
Candy cane.
Candy canes.
Walking canes.
Yeah. The songs...
So do we need to address the fact that our recording software crashed?
Yes, we can.
I guess we just did.
Yeah.
So we're picking it up where we left off.
Just picking up where we left off in the middle of a great riff about things that end in cane.
Yeah. There you go. I guess, like, rewind if you want to hear it again.
Yeah.
But we move forward.
It didn't record a great joke about the 90s ska band, The Hippos. That was apparently what crashed the system, because GarageBand was just like, come on.
Come on, nobody needs to know about the hippos. Don't want to hear about the hippos. Hippopotamus as an animal? Fucking terrifying.
Yes.
Well, that would be a good that's going to be a good Wikipedia page for us to riff on.
Also, I know a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great, I don't think it's a full book. It started as an article and expanded it into like a Kindle single. Mm. But John Wallum is a great writer that I enjoy very much, and he did the history of how hippopotamuses were almost like a food staple in the U.S. and wow. there was like a big campaign to like bring them over to farm them for food.
I know they're incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, it would have been buck wild if there's just herds of hippopotami just trampling folk.
Right, like instead we had the bison, which, you know, if you sneeze they fell over.
Well, that was, I think it was a reaction to like, we goofed it, we killed all the bison, didn't we?
Let's bring the hippos. They're harder to kill and they can kill us. We need a larger,
more dangerous animal. But they were like serving hippo steaks and stuff. I think this was around Teddy Roosevelt time.
It sounds like something he would have championed. Like,
yeah,
himself,
he would have ridden in on a hippopotamus and be like, this is lunch now.
Oh my God.
And then punched it to death with his mustache.
So good. Ibogaine.
Ibogaine.
Ibogaine or cane? Gain.
Gain.
Gain. It's Ibogaine is how it's spelled, correct?
I am checking. Confirming that.
We are blindly trusting a random person on Facebook to spell it right.
Well, he's not a random person. He is Anthony Kastner.
I mean, I don't know him, so to me...
Well, I do.
I don't know him from a hippopotamus, Glenn.
I know him a little bit because he comes to Nerd Night, and I've been running into him lately at open mics, which I enjoy. I like watching new comedians who aren't just terrible people. Because there's a lot of those. There's a lot of like, let me tell you what I think about women. And it's like, no, thank you.
Nobody asked for that.
Yeah. Anthony Kastner talks about his life and drugs sometimes, which brings me to my next point.
Okay.
I'm assuming this is a drug thing.
Okay.
Just based on the source of the suggestion.
Well, I mean, going with what we're saying is a topical ointment, right?
Yes. Like
that would, if that's true, we could then... assume that people abuse it.
Yes. Well, I was saying, because there's a lot of things that have a very practical application.
Sudafed,
right? Or my allergy medicine that I have to just like, I hate, I know this is like a hack joke at this point, but it really drives me crazy that it's more paperwork and ID for me to buy allergy medicine than guns.
Right.
It makes me want to buy a gun. Whenever I have to buy allergy medicine.
So you can shoot your allergies? Shoot them to hell?
Shooting pollen down out of the air?
I can't stand that they make...
tree pollen.
They make nasal sprays for allergy that smell like flowers, as if to like rub it in that like I'm having problems. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
My,
you don't need to remind me
allergy nasal spray just smells like medicine.
I would take that. I would take that over flowers. Because at least it's not judging me.
Yeah, I'm also not allergic to flowers, so maybe that's why. Maybe it's, I don't know what tree pollen smells like. I just know that when it's in the air, I'm miserable.
Right.
Maybe it smells like medicine.
I wonder if Ibogaine could help us.
So, yeah, Ibogaine, it's not long enough to be a psychedelic, I think. It doesn't sound like it's complicated.
It's only one word, which usually means it's relatively tame, right?
Right. We talked about things ending in cane being arrived. I think it's definitely a pain thing. So I'm going to say it is a chemical your brain produces naturally in response to pain.
So we don't think it's synthetic. We do think it occurs naturally.
I think it occurs in its raw form. I think it occurs naturally, but we've also
synthesized
a synthetic for like topical treatments through recombinant DNA techniques. Because that's been used for things like synthetic insulin, right? We can replicate actual human insulin
Fill in the gaps with frog DNA.
Yeah, people used to have to use pig DNA or pig insulin.
It's frog DNA, and that's why sometimes your insulin changes gender when it's in the wild.
Oh, I thought this was boy insulin.
Nope, it's girl insulin.
Oh, my insulin laid eggs.
Life finds a way.
Yeah, finds a way to give you diabetes. That's the real lesson from Jurassic Park.
It's true.
Jurassic Park, did you know, was an allegory about blood sugar management?
Yeah.
Because if you think, oh, I got this under control, but you don't put proper precautions into place, your blood sugar's going to run wild.
Yeah.
And it's going to kill Dennis Nedry.
Yeah.
Because you didn't say the magic word. So Ibogaine, I'm going to say brains produce it.
Okay.
As
a response to pain. Stimuli from nerve endings.
So if I slap you across your face,
my brain is it's going to release.
It's going to release it. It's going to be like, oh, you know what? What's a hormone?
Are you asking for the definition, or are you asking me
name a couple? Testosterone, estrogen.
Those are great ones.
I thought there was like a specific ending for hormones.
I don't know.
And I thought it was.
What's the stuff in turkey that makes you sleepy?
Tryptophan.
There you go.
That's a myth, by the way.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it does. Tryptophan will make you sleepy, but you'd have to eat like 8 turkeys.
Right.
Before it would have any.
Which effect. I'm willing to try. One of my simple pleasures in life, and I know you're a vegetarian, so this is probably awful. I love picking a turkey carcass. I like when you carve the turkey and like you've got it all plated, and then like I love picking it right off of there. Like I could do that forever. It makes me so happy.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You do you, baby.
I'm gonna do me.
I'm fine with the idea of people eating animals. I just like think we could be nicer to them before we eat them.
Oh.
That's my objection.
Like, I mean, we could be nicer to everyone and everything.
Well, not Richard Wormcastle. Push that mofo down a flight of stairs.
See, that just feels mean, Glenn.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick a Richie Wormcastle carcass just for hours.
Yeah.
Just after you roast them, just like.
He's very tender.
Little bits.
Yeah.
Off of him. Then you make it. If you eat 8
of him. If you eat 8 of him, you get sleepy.
I would be so tired.
Oh, my God.
I'd be so tired and full.
Oh, boy.
I don't think people should eat people. I think people. If you want to eat
animals. Hot take from Glenn Tickle. Yeah. Cannibalism bad. Well, I mean, let's go down that road. Would you, like, life on the line, right? Like, the plane crashes in the Andes, and, like, we have no food, and one of us dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume it's someone else in our party. Let's assume, maybe it's Ben. It's Ben Youngerman, the guy that you have.
Then 100%.
Yeah, you would eat him?
I would not wait for Ben to die.
Oh, wow.
I would eat a still-living Ben Youngerman while making eye contact.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know what? That got
really weird, really
dark.
That
was like one shade too far.
No, it's important to have boundaries, though, and to really understand where they are.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone ever, like, OD'd on, like, Ibogaine abuse? Like, that's got to be, if Kurt Cobain died not from a shotgun but from, like, Ibogaine abuse, that
from
would be
like
on
Ibogaine?
That would be the Wikipedia page, right? Like, it would be on there.
Yes. So, famous celebrity Ibogaine deaths. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Andre the Giant. He abused Ibogaine in quantities that were just insane because of how large he was.
Right, because conventional medicine, ineffective because he was such a large man.
Right. Well,
I think that was in the documentary.
Yeah, he kept growing, right? Like, that was his thing. He never stopped growing at, like, a frantic pace.
Yeah, he was 17 feet tall when he died.
Right. He was planting beanstalks. Thinking he was going to transcend to another level of existence into, like, a storybook. Very sad. Very sad.
So he would drink copious amounts of beer, and he would... I think there's a great story about him taking a dump on Hulk Hogan's hotel bed.
Oh, that's... I mean, that may that's be a great... I mean, that's it. That's,
that
that's
might
a great
be apocryphal.
Story. I believe he farted on this the set of... A Princess Bride, Princess Bride, and like it stopped production for like a half hour. Like that was a.
I believe that's chronicled in Cary Elwes' book about it.
Oh yeah,
and I have no reason to doubt Mr. Elwes.
Right, he was there.
Seems like
I wasn't
a trustworthy
there.
Young man.
Yeah.
Ibogaine, but speaking of Cary Elwes,
you got to build up a tolerance to Ibogaine powder. Yeah, that's great. I stole
your joke. Ibogaine is what I thought it was originally, and then when I read it again. I was like, oh, that's not... Because I feel like we could do a fake one for Ibogaine powder.
Right. And like how you have to build up a tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch The Princess Bride if you haven't seen it.
It's colorless, odorless, dissolves
in. Yeah, that's like really that's really the takeaway. Princess Buttercup, kind of the worst, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still a fun movie, though.
It is a very fun movie, but then if you think about having, like, afterwards...
Mm-hmm.
Having to live with that character would just be a nightmare. There's many examples of that in cinema.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman from Garden State. Like, sure, adorable for an hour and a half, but, stop talking about...
Well, I mean, Zach Braff in Garden State is
not
exactly a picnic
cast,
either, right? Like, let's not pick on her. Like, just honestly, fun movie, fun to watch, great moment in time. Wow, how quirky were the cinematography in that film.
So quirky.
So quirky, right? But yeah, just no. We've moved on as society from that, like, early 2000s quirkiness, right?
And you know a great way to deal with it? Bumping some Ibogaine rails.
Nice. I mean,
it really alleviates the pain of having to deal with Manic Pixie Dream Girls for more than an hour and a half.
And Zach Braff's art house projects.
There is, in the book, The Princess Bride, there is the first chapter of the sequel to The Princess Bride, which doesn't really exist. But in it, it's immediately after you see the heroes of the story riding away on the four white horses, and everything just goes terribly immediately. It's very funny. I know I've railed against books pretty hard a couple of times on this podcast because, as I've said, books are for nerds. Just watch TV and listen to podcasts. But since they never shot that chapter, you don't have a choice. You can just read the one chapter. The whole book, The Princess Bride, is a delight.
So if anyone from audible.com is listening, we are open to sponsorships.
Yeah.
So throwing that out there. We're probably the
best
people for that.
Books are for nerds. Yep. Listening to them is fine because sometimes you got to drive pretty far.
All right. Well, I think we've nailed down as good of a Wikipedia page as we're going to do.
For a word neither of us have ever heard before? Yeah, definitely.
All right, let me pull it up here.
What do we got?
Ibogaine is a naturally occurring psychoactive substance found in plants in the...
I should have known.
Apoxinae family. And then there's a whole bunch of sciencey words I'm not going to say.
Believe in yourself. You can do it.
Yeah, moving on. It's a psychedelic with dissociative properties. It's currently not approved for any medical uses in the United States. preliminary research does indicate that it may help with drug addiction. However, there is a lack of data in humans.
It may help with drug addiction in that
it's another drug.
If you're
addicted
to drugs, you're like, you know what? I could use some help with more drugs to do.
Let me pad my portfolio of drugs with Ibogaine. It is... associated with serious side effects and death. I suspect we're going to get into that more of that. alternative medicine
treatment
for drug
addiction. Yeah, R.I.P. Andre the Giant.
Yeah, right. Its prohibition in other countries has slowed scientific research. It's also used to facilitate psychological introspection and spiritual exploration. Mm. So basically, it's fancy peyote.
Okay. I was going to say, is it like the active ingredient in ayahuasca or something like that?
I don't know. Let's find out. It was first discovered by the Pygmy tribe of Central Africa, who passed the knowledge to the Butiti tribe of Gabon. French explorers in turn learned it from the Butiti tribe and brought iboga, as it was known back then, back to Europe in the late 18, early 1900s, where it was marketed in France as lambarine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a nice word. Good job, France.
Ibogaine-containing preparations are used for the medicinal and ritual purposes within a lot of African spiritual traditions.
Okay.
Wow, this is a really...
Because ayahuasca is what? It's South American?
I think so.
I'm not a big drug boy, but...
A note on this Wikipedia page, however, very redundant. Very redundant. Like, I'm cutting out many sentences that I've already read that are appearing basically multiple times.
Well, this when page you write Wikipedia pages while you're on ibogaine, you get a little repetitive.
It's
sometimes.
True. All right, let's scroll down. You want to know about the psychoactive effects?
Yes, please.
The experience of ibogaine is broken down into two phases: the visionary phase and the introspection phase. The visionary phase has been described as kind of dreamlike in its nature, lasts for about 4 to 6 hours. The second phase, the introspection phase, is responsible for the psychotherapeutic effects. It is said that it can allow people to conquer fears and negative emotions. Definitely catalyzes an altered state of consciousness, reminiscent of dreaming while fully conscious. So memories, life experiences, and trauma can often be processed better.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, like I...
You know when dreaming's real good? When you're asleep, which is my favorite thing to be.
So then there's just more redundancy here. It talks about it not being approved by medical uses. Talks about the religious ceremonies in Africa. Here we go. Adverse effects. One of the first...
Killing giants.
One of the first notable effects of a large dose of ibogaine ingestion is ataxia, which is difficulty in coordinating muscle motion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to stand with or walk without help. Also, nausea, vomiting, dry mouth.
Classics.
Yeah, you know. They can be very long ranging in their duration, up to a day in some cases. So even after you've gone through the fun phases...
When you said long ranging, I was expecting that range to be a lot longer than a day.
I don't know, man. If I'm vomiting for more than one time, like, that feels like a problem. That I would define that as long ranging. You know, like several hours of vomiting. No, fair. No, thank you.
Does it say anything about curing migraines and chronic headaches?
Because
I'm looking for some new options.
Bad news. Bad news. Yeah. There's some brain degeneration in rats, so
you could maybe lobotomize yourself with enough of it. I like my brain most of the time, even though I believe I'm on the record last week as saying that my brain is trash.
Huh.
But it was trying to kill me at the time, so.
Yeah, there's some chemistry stuff here. There's some derivative stuff here. Nothing too interesting.
It is very long.
Yeah. And it does pick up a little bit better in quality after the intro paragraph. I got to say, there is some decent information in here. If you were like a chemistry nerd, you might really enjoy this page. But
would you say, who would like this page more, chemistry nerds or drug users?
Chemistry nerds, hands down. Yeah. A drug user likes that this page exists, but they would probably only get a couple paragraphs in before they were like, nah, I'm good.
Because then they get to the introspective phase and they're like, I should have become a chemist. Yeah. I should have listened to my dad.
Right. Their spirit animal, like their spirit kawaka, comes over and is like, look at me, I'm always smiling. Let's do something fun. And
kawakas
then,
are so cute.
Aren't they, though?
Oh, someone suggest kawakas so we can talk about them for half an hour.
Oh, my God. Kawakas and hippopotamus. If they don't come up soon, I'm going to be upset.
Ooh, Pixar, get at us. We got a spec script to write.
Trademark, TM.
All right. Hippo and Quokka, buddy cop adventure.
Oh my God! It's the sequel to what was that?
Zootopia.
Yeah, it's the sequel. Yeah, with a Quokka and a hippo. I would watch the fuck out of that.
Zootopia SVU.
Oh, bum, bum. Yeah. Oh my God, the sexual crimes of the animal world? Is that what that would be?
Yes.
That is awful.
Because there's
it.
A fox and a rabbit clearly together in an intimate relationship.
The sexual tension.
By the end of that.
The sexual tension between that fox and that rabbit.
They're very clearly in a relationship at the end of the movie.
Yep.
And when you're in a relationship, you do stuff.
I want Richard Belzer to be the voice of the quokka.
Right, because the quokka is very serious.
Yeah. But he just looks like
he's
happy.
His mouth is shaped like that, and that's why they're so cute.
Oh, man.
Okay. Also, if you ever Google Zootopia characters, safe search. You're going to want that on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There feels like there's a lot more behind that, but we'll have to
talk. No, just because I was trying to find a picture of... I couldn't remember the one character's name, so I just typed in like Zootopia Cheetah.
Yeah.
And oh boy. Don't do that with safe search off. Because there's...
Oh, man.
Zootopia has a broad appeal to a lot of different types of people,
a lot of different subcultures.
Cartoon perverts. So there's a lot of stuff you're going to find.
All right. So ibogaine does occur naturally in iboga root bark. So that's a thing.
Gotta get that root bark.
Yeah, man. There's some history, but it's nothing we don't know already. Society and culture, some different nations that don't allow it. There's some documentaries listed here. There's a film called Detox or Die. It's pretty aggressive in terms of your film name. And that's, I mean, like, there's more, but I don't know. It's pretty boring.
I think it's pretty clear that we've lost this one.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. No, nothing we said was right. Absolutely nothing we said was right.
I think we learned an important lesson, which is I think we, part of what we need to look at is who is suggesting these things.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And really just leaning into that. Them, especially when it's something we've never heard of.
Yeah.
So, like, if we get a suggestion from Ben Youngerman, for example, and it's a word we don't know, it's probably a word that has to do with, like, being too short to go on roller coasters, having a real dumb mustache, not having anyone who loves you.
Go ahead.
What it smells like. It's like... If it's a specific word we've never... Like, if Ben Youngerman suggested ibogaine, I'd have been like, oh, that's the specific word for the smell inside of a mascot's helmet.
Right, yeah, that would make sense, yeah.
Because he's a dirty little mascot boy.
All right, well, we'll chalk this one up as a loss, which brings the score us 3, Wikipedia 4, 2 ties. Not the end of the world. We can bring this back on the next episode.
Yeah, but I think the flaw in this plan is what's stopping us from, when we get ahead, just calling it, saying we win, and taking over Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, our goal is to rewrite the entirety of Wikipedia, so we have to just make sure that we've hit every page.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So, right. So we have to hit every page in Wikipedia, and then we have to do better. It's understandable.
Yeah. Well, we got to end this episode, and we end every episode by talking about what fake fact we would try to pass off as real on this page. So I guess we just, in this instance, choose any of the things that we said.
Yeah, literally
over the last
anything
half hour.
We already said, because we had no idea what this was.
Yeah.
Can it be that ibogaine is also the word for the smell inside of a mascot mask?
Love it.
Perfect.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This is the end of the podcast. At the end of a podcast, you're supposed to, like, I don't know, talk about making people listen and subscribe. And
get a whiff of all the ibogaine coming out of Mr. Met's head. Yuck.
So do all those things you're supposed to do to help us out. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, friends.
Bye.